Hello, Illinois Radio Reader listeners. This is Elizabeth McMahon with the Pantograph for Friday, December 13th, 2024. I have a little bit of a cold today, but I hope you'll bear with me. For the first half, I'm going to cover local and state news, and then in the second half, I'll move to sports and some opinion, I think. We don't have any obituaries in today's Pantograph. I'm going to start with the big feature on the front page of the Pantograph today with the headline, Have Yourself a Merry Thriftmas. And this is a local business story. We also have about two state stories on the front page. But the first main story has a large, really pretty picture here of Laura Burke showing off holiday-themed items at Serendipity Mercantile, which is located at 902 IAA Drive in Bloomington, and the caption reads that the store gives part of proceeds to a different local nonprofit every month. And this story is by Olivia Jacobs of the Pantograph. Thrifting has become more popular across all generations, especially during the holiday season, according to Carl Broman Resale Boutique Supervisor Andrea Reyes. Reyes has worked with the boutique for 3 years and has over 20 years of experience in retail management. She's one of six staff members and over 100 volunteers who help run the Normal Shop, which has been open since 1950 and will mark 75 years in 2025. Reyes says that while some people perceive secondhand shopping as for older generations who don't want to throw things away or who prefer to reuse items, she meets shoppers of all ages at the boutique. These young people are fashion-forward-minded people, and they find new creative ideas, ways to express themselves, which is awesome, Reyes says. It also comes at an affordable price, and it's become super important to be more sustainable. We're not throwing things into the landfill anymore. It's getting a second life. So it's quite a beautiful circle that goes around. You never know what item you're going to find. You can find antiques. You can find that special something. She added that at this time of year, Carl Broman Resale Boutique shoppers are looking for all kinds of things, but especially gifts, attire for Christmas parties, holiday decor, and more. Of all the items sold in the boutique, all of the items sold in the boutique have been donated, and some can even be found brand new in boxes. The Carl Boutique at 1322 South Main Street in Normal accepts donations from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Shopping hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and the store is closed Sunday. The store is also closed on major holidays and the last Thursday of every month to reset the floor with new items. On reset days, Reyes said the store averages about 70 customers waiting outside, often with the line wrapping around the building, all eager to see what's new in the store. Those who donate items receive a 20% off coupon to shop in the store. On Wednesdays, the store offers 20% off for those 55 and over. Students with an ID get 10% off each day, and military with an ID get 20% off each day. Reyes points to the mission of the shop as a reason for its success. Everything that we get donated, those proceeds go back to the hospital, she said. Whether you're a donator or you're a shopper, you get to feel good about doing good. She added, you're supporting a good cause because you're investing in your community. For me, that's the message, is shop with a purpose and shop local and secondhand. Kay Shipman Swike of Bloomington, a frequent Carl Broman shopper, and wife to Paul Swike, who works in Carl's communications department, said she often finds items at the store that she can repurpose. She added that when she retired about a year and a half ago, thrift shopping and finding new uses for items became a fun way to fill her time. Shipman Swike has found tablecloths, unfinished quilt tops, embroidered panels, and other linens, then turned them into dresses, coats, Christmas ornaments, handkerchiefs, baby bibs, and more. While chatting with the Pantograph on December 6, she happened to be wearing a pair of overalls decorated with patches of cloth that she'd previously found at the store. She also told of a reversible coat she'd made with two different kinds of fabric, including a cowboy print on the inside. So far, I'm just having fun making these for myself, Shipman Zweig said. Upscaling is the trend. It's where you take items like a tablecloth or a quilt, and then you make it into something else. And I like that. I admire the people that made the original pieces. I can only imagine the number of hours. Shipman Zweig said she visits the store about once a week because it always has new things. She also donates items about 3 to 4 times per month. I really love getting to be creative and finding things. It's kind of like a treasure hunt here. Plus, it's so beautiful in this store, she said. I mean, I really appreciate this boutique. It's displayed so respectfully and tastefully, and people are fun. Like I've had the most fun conversations with people who shop here and work here because of similar attitudes. I recommend everybody come. It's like a whole new community here in town. Another local thrift store with a cause is Serendipity Mercantile at 902 IAA Drive, Suite 2 in Bloomington. The shop sells items donated by community members as well as crafts and other work from 20 local vendors. Merchandise at Serendipity includes clothing, furniture, accessories, gifts, decor, Christmas stocking stuffers, and more. Serendipity, co-owned by Danielle Sauls and Laura Burke, opened April 1st, 2022. Each month, the store picks a different local nonprofit to receive a portion of their proceeds. Since opening, they've donated nearly $40,000. Some of the beneficiaries have included the Boys and Girls Club, the Baby Fold, Home Sweet Home Ministries, the Forgotten Initiative, and Encounter Campus Ministry. They've also helped assisted living homes, given coats, backpacks, and other supplies to schools, and handed out gift cards to people at grocery stores. In November, they raised enough money for a group of single mothers to shop at the store. This month, they'll pick 4 local organizations and nonprofits voted on by their customers. Voting can be done on Serendipity's Facebook page until the last week of December. My heart is about giving and caring for others, so it's all about giving here and loving on people, giving to whom we want to give to, Saul said. To see where we are giving is very important, to see how we distribute that and go out into the community. Serendipity is open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and is closed on Sundays. On days the store is open, people can bring in up to 2 bags worth of donations at a time. Some accepted items include purses, shoes, clothing, and home decor. Donations of Christmas decor will be accepted until Wednesday, December 18th. The store is nearly full on vendors, but those interested in working with the store can contact them via social media. Saul said she feels thrifting is a growing trend as more people are looking to support small businesses. You can pick up a vase and you can throw a quick paint on it and make it look really new and fresh. Where that in store may be $40, you can get it for $3 at a thrift store and it looks just as beautiful, Burke said. Saul said holiday shoppers at Serendipity are often looking for small gifts like socks, lotions, lip balms, notepads, coffee, and any trinkets or unique items created by their vendors. Customers also enjoy Serendipity's $1 closet, which is always filled with new items, Saul said. For those who may be unfamiliar or hesitant about shopping secondhand, Saul encourages them to come into the store and see the wide variety of items available. You can be very thoughtful of, hey, my aunt really loves this and my granddaughter really loves that, Burke said. You can have a lot more variety for a low price, so you can get a lot more bang for your buck for items, and it'll be really thoughtful and unique. The Eureka Etc. thrift shop and the store next door at 125 and 113 South Main Street in downtown Eureka is a thrift ministry that first opened in 1978. Etc. moved into its current location around 1993, while the store next door, nicknamed by staffers as the Thriftique, was purchased about 5 years ago. General Manager Jamie McFarland said proceeds from the stores benefit the Mennonite Central Committee, where their mission is to respond to basic human need and bring peace to the world. McFarland said the stores do see an uptick in business during the holiday season. We do see a little bit of a turn in people coming in that don't always normally find us, so it's very wonderful to support that and be a big part of our community, she said. The appeal of thrifting, she said, is that customers can donate and shop without having to travel very far, and they can save money on things that they truly need. McFarland said their Christmas shop is open 2 months out of the year, and they also have a Christmas in July shop at the store next door. At both stores right now, customers can find ornaments, trees, wreaths, garlands, stockings, boxes, bags, floral arrangements, nativities, cookbooks and other books, gift items, and Christmas wear, such as sweaters or other clothing for special occasions. I think community is the biggest connection we have, so supporting people in your community keeps us in your community, McFarland said. Building your community is the thing. Outreach to support baseball and football games, gift certificates for giveaways, that's all imperative to building community. Eureka Etc. Thrift Shop and the store next door are open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday and are closed on Sunday. Donations can be dropped off starting at 9:30 a.m. each business day. McFarland recommends that people call first, as employees don't know what will be brought in or how much space they'll have for donations on a given day. The stores will be closed from December 24th through January 1st and will reopen Thursday, January 2nd. McFarland said many people are looking for connection this time of year, and that can be more difficult for some than others. Thrift stores are a good place to find that connection and volunteer, she added, adding that the store currently has over 150 volunteers. When you do good, you feel good, and it does help, she said. Those interested in volunteering can visit the store in person or call 309-467-4211. Next, I'm going to move on to more state-focused news here with the headline, Pritzker promises to protect immigrants but says those convicted of violent crimes need to go. And this is by Olivia Olander of the Chicago Tribune. Days after President-elect Donald Trump's border czar said planned mass deportations of undocumented immigrants would begin in Chicago, Governor J.B. Pritzker again gave assurances that Illinois would protect all immigrants while also repeatedly saying he shared a desire to deport undocumented people convicted of violent crimes. Let me be clear up front. Violent criminals who are undocumented and convicted of violent crime should be deported. I do not want them in my state. I do not think they should be in the United States, Pritzker said Wednesday at an unrelated event in Chicago. The governor said he'd work to protect migrants seeking asylum, undocumented immigrants, and undocumented people who had been living, working, and paying taxes in the U.S. for many years. Those remarks echoed his promises last month to shield his state from Trump administration policies he sees as damaging, declaring just after the election, "You come for my people, you come through me." On Monday, Tom Homan, Trump's hand-picked head of border issues, said at a Northwest Side Republican event that the mass deportations promised by the Trump administration will start right here in Chicago, according to news reports. Asked whether he'd work with Homan, Pritzker said he would work just as I do every day, federal, state, and local enforcement, on other matters. The governor said he would be open to dialogue with Homan as part of the Trump administration, but reiterated his belief that Homan doesn't have the authority to carry out the types of mass deportations Trump has talked about. Trump made concerns about immigration a key issue in his campaign, and while Homan's position isn't part of the president-elect's Senate-confirmed cabinet, he figures to play a major role in guiding border policy from the White House. Pritzker criticized Homan for making a political speech at a political township organization and attacking the people that you're going to serve shortly. When you take on the office of governor, you serve all the people while you're serving in this position, and I would expect that he would do the same in his position, Pritzker said. Moving on to more state news here, we have a story focused on the Madigan trial with the headline, Secretly Recorded Videos Are Backbone of Corruption Trial for Longest-Serving Legislative Leader. This is by Sophia Tarine of the Associated Press. Hours of secretly recorded videos and phone calls have offered a rare glimpse into how the longest-serving legislative leader in American history operated behind closed doors. as the corruption trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan stretches into its third month. Testimony has covered his multiple alleged schemes, from kickbacks involving the state's largest utility company to Chinatown developments benefiting his private tax firm. Jurors have heard from a congresswoman, former state legislators, and the government star witness, a former Chicago alderman who secretly wore a wire. Here's a closer look at the ongoing trial. Madigan, who was speaker for over three decades, is charged in a 23-count indictment for bribery, racketeering, wire fraud, and other crimes. Prosecutors allege he exploited his unmatched influence not only as the Illinois House Speaker, but also as head of the state's Democratic Party for personal gain and to amass even more power. A tax attorney, he's also accused of benefiting from private work that was illegally steered to his law firm. The trial has shown how Madigan worked, with the lines between his political and personal roles intertwined. For instance, meetings often took place at his downtown law office, whether they were for political or legal work. Elected officials or his political advisors were often present alongside business contacts. Even in meetings about tax work, he was called the speaker, the recordings show. In one 2014 meeting secretly recorded by a businessman who also working undercover, a city council member introduced Madigan to hotel developers for a Chinatown project. Madigan pitched his firm's business. "We're not interested in a quick killing here. We're interested in a long-term relationship," Madigan said. "In terms of the quality of representation that you'll get from this firm, we don't take a second seat to anybody." Afterward, the alderman told a businessman, if he works with the speaker, he'll get anything he needs for that hotel. One of the most anticipated parts of the trial has been the testimony of former Chicago alderman Danny Solis. A council member for 23 years, Solis led the powerful zoning committee. As Madigan sought business for his tax firm, Solis met with Madigan over projects in the alderman's ward, which then included Chinatown and the trendy West Loop neighborhood near downtown. But unknown to everyone, including his family, Solis was working for federal agents, recording meetings and phone calls. "It was critical that the undercover work I was doing remain secret," Solis, 75, testified in court. He told jurors that federal agents approached him in June 2016, and he agreed to cooperate to avoid prison for admitted wrongdoing, including bribery. However, Solis could be a problematic witness. He faced massive financial issues, marital problems after an affair, and ethical lapses, including accepting favors from a developer who arranged for Solis to get Viagra and massages that turned sexual. He also testified he acted on requests from federal agents, including proposing that Madigan appoint him to a board after he left office. Defense attorneys called Solis unreliable and blasted his financial wrongdoing, including misspending, campaign funds for a trip to Puerto Rico, his son's school tuition, and a car. "As alderman and as chair of the zoning committee, you committed many crimes. Is that correct?" Madigan attorney Daniel Collins asked Solis during cross-examination. "Yes," Solis said. Other witnesses have included U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski, who testified about Madigan's influence in 2018 while she worked as an advisor for Governor J.B. Pritzker. Some of the Solis videos are shaky, and it's unclear how he recorded them. There's extended footage of ceilings and office walls. Many calls are short, but they show how Madigan, who famously didn't have a cell phone or email address, operated. In January 2018, Madigan called up Solis and asked about a proposed West Loop apartment building. "Is that going to go ahead? You know why I'm interested," Madigan says. Solis asks if Madigan knew the developers. "No, but I'd like to," he says. Solis told jurors that Madigan's influence would be helpful to him, so he provided introductions. "I want to curry political favor with Mr. Madigan," Solis says. "I wanted to curry favor with Mr. Madigan," Solis told jurors. A sweeping investigation of public corruption in Illinois has already produced convictions of other elected officials and Madigan's former chief of staff. Among other schemes, Madigan is accused of using his influence to pass legislation favorable to electric utility ComEd. In return, ComEd allegedly offered Madigan loyalists kickbacks, contracts, and jobs where they did little or no work. When Madigan saw an opportunity to enrich himself, he took it, Assistant U.S. Attorney Sarah Stryker told jurors. Defense attorneys have painted Madigan as a devoted public servant, calling him incorruptible. Madigan, who has adamantly denied wrongdoing in the past, hasn't spoken publicly during the trial. He spends the proceedings watching witnesses and jurors intently, often taking notes. Family members, including his daughter, former Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, have attended court. Also standing trial with Madigan is longtime confidant Michael McLean, 76, who already has been found guilty in a separate, related case. Last year, federal jurors convicted McLean and three others of the bribery conspiracy involving ComEd. The trial is expected to extend into mid-January. And moving on into the inside of the paper here, I'm going to look at some local news, starting with a story by Olivia Jacobs of the Pantograph with the headline, Ride the Nine Shooters Lounge Owners Sell Bar Pool Hall After 33 Years in Bloomington. Ride the Nine Shooters Lounge owners Glenn Corkill and Scott Tuggle announced this week they have sold their bar after 33 years in business. Ride the Nine, which is located at 503 North Prospect Road, has operated in Bloomington since the two opened it in 1991. Corkill told the Pantograph on Wednesday he and Tuggle are at retirement age and ready to move on. In an announcement posted to Facebook Tuesday, the owners also cited lots of twists and turns at the bar and pool hall over the years, as well as difficulties during and following the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic was the toughest hit, not just us, but everyone, the Post said. It's been tough with being closed by the government and the effects of COVID, rising wages, utilities, shortages of products, staff, and everything. Ride the Nine's last day in business will be Saturday, December 28th. Sweetwater, a band based in Central Illinois, will play from 7 to 10 p.m. to mark the occasion. Corkill said in an interview with the Pantograph he has no idea what the new owners plan to do with the business, so whether it will still operate as is or turn into something new is yet to be determined. The Facebook post called the last 33 and a half years in business a good run for Scotty and myself. We wish the new owners the best and a long run also. Corkill and Tuggle also own Nick's Kicks Bar and Grill, located at 19578 North 1960 East Road in Towanda. While they are parting ways with their Bloomington business, Corkill said they'll continue to run Kicks for now. We're retiring out of Bloomington, he said. Corkill noted he would like to thank Bloomington for all of the years they have had here. Ride the Nine Shooters Lounge will continue to operate at normal hours until the last day, open from 2 p.m. to 1 a.m. Monday, 2 to 11 p.m. Tuesday, 11 to 1 a.m. Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. And moving on here, we have a crime-related story with the headline, Bloomington Police Investigate Armed Robbery at Business on Empire, and this is by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington police are investigating an armed robbery that was reported in early hours of Monday. According to a news release from the Bloomington Police Department, officers were dispatched at 2:05 a.m. Monday to a business in the 3000 block of East Empire Street for reports of an armed robbery. While investigating, officers found evidence that indicated a robbery had occurred. Personal property, business property, and an undisclosed amount of cash were stolen. No significant injuries were reported, but witnesses told police one of the suspects displayed a weapon. BPD did not indicate what kind of weapon was used. At least two suspects are believed to have been involved. The two suspects wore masks, gloves, and dark clothing during the incident, police said. After the robbery, they left the area on foot. The news release did not indicate whether officers have located any suspects. BPD detectives are working diligently to investigate this violent crime. I encourage anyone who has any knowledge about this armed robbery to provide information to our detectives, Chief Jamal Symington said in the news release. Let's work together once again to demonstrate this illegal conduct is unacceptable in our community and the victims deserve justice. This incident remains under investigation. Anyone with information related to the incident is asked to contact Detective Weston Gresham at 309-434-2570 or WGRESHAM at cityblm.org. To submit an anonymous tip, contact the Crime and Intelligence Analysis Unit at 309-434-2963 or CIAU at cityblm.org or text the word BPD tips with the information to 847411. And finally on this page, we have a local business story with the headline GrowMark announces leadership team retirements, appointments, and this is by Robin Skaggs. GrowMark, the agricultural cooperative headquartered in Bloomington and serving almost 400,000 customers across North America, has announced the retirement of three individuals on the company's executive leadership team effective January 2nd and has named replacements to fill their roles. Wade Mittelstadt, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, Barry Schmidt, Executive Vice President of the retail business, and Bill Covey, Executive Vice President and General Counsel, are retiring from GrowMark with over 100 years of combined experience in the system, according to a news release. Brad Drake, currently serving as Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, will take on the role of Executive Vice President and COO, overseeing GrowMark's wholesale business, logistics, and marketing functions, the news release said. He joined the company in 2008 and has held roles in finance, IT, crop protection, and commodities. He has a business degree with a concentration in accounting and management from Trinity International University and an MBA with a concentration in finance from Illinois State University. He also has his certified public accountant and certified management accountant designations. Jeff Lynch, who most recently served as Vice President, Retail Business and Strategic Relationship Lead, will move into the role of Executive Vice President, Retail Business, overseeing GrowMark's eight retail divisions. He joined the company in 2004 and has shown leadership in finance, agronomy, and grain, where he directed GrowMark's Iowa growth strategy, according to the news release. He holds a degree in math and risk management from Illinois Wesleyan University and an MBA from the University of Illinois. Matt Lurkins will become Executive Vice President, General Counsel, and Grain. In addition to overseeing legal functions, he'll continue to drive strategy in the grain division, the news release said. Since joining GrowMark in 2012 as Senior Staff Attorney, his roles have extended to include Executive Director of Acquisition Business Development, and Vice President, Grain and Strategic Relationships Lead. He has a bachelor's degree in finance and a Juris Doctor degree from Southern Illinois University. And finally, Carmi Kays will become Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, leading the finance and IT divisions. He has over 10 years of experience at GrowMark in finance, member resources, and the energy division, and most recently served as treasurer, overseeing corporate funds, financing, budgets, and risk management. He has a bachelor's degree in risk management from Illinois Wesleyan University and an MBA from Illinois State University. And I'm going to wrap up this first half with today's flick fact. And the question is, this season, where in Bloomington Normal can you see how nine other countries are decorating for Christmas? And the answer is, it's Ewing Manor in Bloomington. From 2 to 7 p.m. Saturday, December 14th, is the Manor's annual Christmastime tour. This year, in observance of the 100th anniversary of Ewing's touring the world in 1924 to 25. The Manor has nine of its rooms especially decorated, each to depict how nine of the 22 countries visited by the Ewings decorate for Christmas. And and the visitors, greeting visitors Saturday afternoon at the Manor, wife Nancy and your humbled, that would be Flick himself. and that's, the mansion is the other half of this annual Christmas at the Mansion tour. I'm going to take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned.